Welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing to look at the Gospel of John and to ask the question, how do we love like Jesus does? And this week we're looking at John chapter 4, verses 4 to 26, and then 39 to 42. So I'm just going to read those verses now. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy some food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she said. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the saviour of the world." So we have the Samaritan woman who comes to the well at noon, the hottest part of the day, on her own. It was unusual for a woman to visit a well alone, and to go during the hottest part of the day seems to suggest that she was deliberately trying to go when no one else was around. And as we see later in the reading, it is likely that she was an outcast and trying to escape the gossip and the stares that would inevitably surround her. I wonder what she was thinking as she approached the well and saw a man, a stranger, a Jew, sitting there resting. Who is that? There seems to be a strange man resting by the well, but what could he be doing here? I can tell he is a Jew, but they never normally come here. They don't like to mix with us Samaritans. don't want to sully themselves by coming down to our level. Ha! Huh, as if. But I really don't want to have to deal with this man. Will he be like most other Jews, sneering and scorning me, a poor Samaritan woman? Will he be mean to me? Or leering? Or perhaps I can just hope he will ignore me, dismiss me, push me to the side. If I ignore him, hopefully he'll get the message and that I don't want any trouble. Perhaps she wanted him to ignore her. But of course, Jesus was neither antagonistic nor dismissive. Instead, he spoke with gentleness and love, with a smile on his face and true care and understanding in his eyes. Jesus took the opportunity to connect with this alienated woman, despite all the reasons he had that would tell him to ignore her. And he had plenty of reasons not to make any conversation with her. And the woman is actually quick to point this out. Firstly, he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, and they didn't get along. They shared a mutual contempt for each other. And for that reason alone, Jesus would have been culturally justified if he had ignored her. She was also a woman, and men and women did not interact in that culture unless they were married. So again, culturally, there was no reason for them to interact. But also, Jesus might have been excused from talking to her because, as we are told, Jesus was tired or wearied from his journey. Now, I'm well acquainted, probably more than most due to my health, with being tired or fatigued. And so I know that when I'm feeling exhausted, one of the last things that I want to do is have an important conversation with a stranger. And yet this is exactly what Jesus does. He chooses to make the time and effort to have a conversation that changes this woman's life. And I think this is particularly significant to us in our culture. We live such fast-paced lives that we find it difficult to take time and effort to speak with people that we aren't already close friends or family with. It is noticeable that COVID-19 has made people all around the country slow down and actually stop to see and pay attention to who is around us. I know for myself that although I have lived here for approximately 5 years now, I only started to have proper conversations with my neighbours because of the lockdowns. Every time I read this passage, I always feel really challenged by the fact that Jesus takes time out of his busy life to pay attention to seemingly insignificant people that we would probably pass by without a second glance. And Jesus doesn't merely pay attention enough to give the woman a quick hello and a how are you doing. Instead, Jesus stops to truly speak to her and to really know her. Now, of course, Jesus had the advantage. He knew this woman before they ever met or spoke. But what he did was he chose to take the time so that the woman could see that she was truly known, so that she could know someone cared for her. So I want firstly to encourage you. You are seen. You are known. You are fully and completely loved by Jesus. He looks at you not just with a fleeting look, but he looks deep into your eyes, deep into your very soul, and he smiles with compassion and mercy. He wants to enfold you in his love. And like he did to the woman at the well, Jesus invites you to drink the everlasting living water. Jesus offers you the precious gift of never-ending life with him, not just as something to hope for in the future, but as something that you can experience right here, right now. This is how loved you are. This is how known you are. Jesus sees you, and he loves you beyond measure. How will you respond to that? How might this change your life and your interaction with him. It's such an amazing thing to be loved and known so deeply. But that leads me on to the second thing I want to leave you with, a challenge to learn to see people, to pay attention to who they are. Do we take time and effort to really see, to really pay attention to the people around us? Because when we do, we begin to actually know them. We may not have supernatural knowledge of a person that Jesus did, but we are called to listen, truly listen, instead of formulating our own responses, to comfort and encourage, to help and advise, to empathize, to remember the details of their story. Everyone wants to feel seen and affirmed. Everyone wants to know that their presence matters, that someone knows their name, hears the tremble in their voice, and cares for them unconditionally. Again, I imagine what it might have been like for this woman as she interacted with Jesus and slowly became aware of how deeply he saw her. If I thought he might ignore me, well, I was very wrong, wasn't I? But then I was wrong in thinking that he would belittle me or scorn me as well. He didn't do either of those things. Instead, he looked at me with that gentle smile and something in his eyes, something that seemed to reach out and touch me. And then he spoke to me and asked me for a drink. I mean, what? I had to check that I had heard him right. And so, of course, I questioned him, demanding to know what he was playing at. How can he ask me for a drink? To be honest, I kind of expected him to laugh at me or scoff or something. I thought maybe he was playing a trick. But instead, he then offered me a drink, even though he had nothing to draw from the well with. So, of course, I was confused. And I admit, I was a little bit defensive, and so I challenged him. Do you think you are greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? But still, he looked at me with, dare I say it, love in his eyes. Not in the creepy sort of lust-filled way that many men leer at me, but with genuine compassion and kindness, with a pure and innocent love, like a father to his child or something. Something I don't remember seeing, or certainly not for a long time. He asked me to call my husband, and I told him I have no husband. And then he started talking about me, my lovers, my past, my history. Even though I had never met him before in my life, he somehow knew me more than I could believe, knew me more than anyone else. I admit to being scared. I tried to change the subject, but even then he continued to astound me. Every word he spoke was filled with wisdom, understanding, and love. Until suddenly he spoke, confirming that he, the Messiah, he was that one, the one we had all been waiting for him. I was stunned, but I also knew that I had to tell people, to show them this man, this Messiah. I ran back to the village shouting like never before with joy in my heart. You must meet this man, the most amazing man, the Messiah. He told me everything I've ever done. He knows me, even though we had never met before today. Being known, being listened to, being seen is powerful. And we have the opportunity to impact people's lives for the better by loving them like Jesus, taking the time to truly pay attention and see them as Jesus sees them. Who needs to be seen in your life? You need someone to know them. It might even be someone that you've been friendly with for a while. Can you choose to take a step deeper to move beyond the casual, hi, how are you conversations, to the more intimate and relational conversations that allow you to truly know a person? How can we help people to realize they are truly known and loved by God? Who can we get to know and love around us? And so as we close, let's just remember, first of all, that God loves us and that he knows us fully, knows us down to the very hairs on our head. And he also extends that love and asks us to love others with that same love. How will we respond? Amen.